Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Di Martin. Today, the inside story of a controversial bid to turn a huge Northern Territory cattle station into a conservation reserve funded by the carbon market. 18 months ago, R.M. Williams Agricultural Holdings bought Henbury Station, located just south of Alice Springs. Taxpayers paid most of the $13 million price tag. In return, the company agreed to Henbury becoming part of the National Reserve System, Australia's highest level of environmental protection. Instead of running cattle, the company plans to sell carbon credits from regrowing native vegetation. But the project's been overshadowed by the sacking of its key architect and company managing director, David Pearce. Background Briefing can reveal he's being sued by one of the main investors in R.M. Williams Agricultural Holdings. In turn, David Pearce is taking legal action for wrongful dismissal. And in a further blow to the project, the Northern Territory Government opposes Henbury's conversion from pastoral to environmental lease. R.M. Williams Agricultural Holdings is now talking about reintroducing cattle to the station and has even raised the possibility of ending its deal with the federal government. Alice Springs-based rural reporter Caddy Brain has been investigating Henbury Station for Background Briefing and has this report.
It's a bit over an hour's drive south of Alice Springs to Henbury Station. The highway twists through the base of large rocky hills that fall away to sparse open plains. There's no sign at the turnoff to the station's main entrance, just a double gate featuring the letters TVX and OOT, the once famous Henbury cattle brands. Off the highway, the sealed road quickly becomes dirt. The dry Fink River, that many claim to be the oldest river in the world, curls and twists its way alongside the road, disguised at times by leaning river gums shedding their bark in the heat. Not much more than a kilometre down the road, the cattle yards appear, now empty, ghostly even. This is Paul Hartwig, the current property manager at Henbury Station.
These cattle yards, they're all in good working order still. Sitting empty. There's just the wind going through the pipes now.
An abandoned cattle ear tag lies on the ground, a relic from a different time. For a century and a half, this was a pastoral empire, a landscape where 10,000 cattle once roamed. Many in the pastoral industry still regard Henbury as prime cattle country, but some, like botanist Peter Latz, say years of grazing have taken their toll.
The trouble was that was the first place where people, you know, the early pastoralists came in and put their cattle in the best wetland, and it's been stuffed up for many years. And it's a low rainfall area, it's had real serious rabbit problems in the past, and it's always been a marginal place to make a good living out of from cattle. And so to make a living, it's been overutilised in the past and it needs a spell.
If what the country needed was a rest, it's got one. Mid last year came a big announcement.
My name's Peter Cochran. I'm the head of Parks Australia. It's my task just to briefly introduce the Minister, Tony Burke, Federal Minister for the Environment.
Thanks to all of you and what beautiful country.
About 30 people met on the banks of the station's 3-mile waterhole. They were told that R.M. Williams Agricultural Holdings had purchased Henbury Station for $13 million, with $9 million of federal government funding. The cattle would be mustered and sold, and the property would be protected as part of the National Reserve System.
What we provide in this model is like nothing we've ever done before. Because what we provide in the model that we're here talking about today is to say restoring land can be good business.
Henbury was not to become just another giant nature reserve. R.M. Williams Agricultural Holdings had something a bit more ambitious in mind for the property, farming carbon instead of cattle. By restoring native vegetation, they plan to sequester carbon and then sell the credits. If successful, it will be the first company to use the carbon market to fund a conservation project. It was the brainchild of one man, the managing director of R.M. Williams Agricultural Holdings, David Pearce. Here he describes his vision for Henbury at the project's launch.
I think the opportunity is very, very simple. Australia has a huge degraded landscape. It has a low population, a huge chemistry set, and a legal infrastructure and banking infrastructure that works. We have to make sure that all the outcomes from this project are not just carbon-based, but are complementary with co-benefits both culturally and for biodiversity. And we decided that we'd try and work out how to fix this country up.
The move to preserve the landscape of Henbury Station was welcomed by conservationists such as Peter Latz, who says it's long overdue.
Running Waters, which is in the northwest corner, is the most important wetland system in the whole of arid Australia. And it's ridiculous that it's not in a national park of some sort.
Peter Latz is a botanist now in his 70s, who has lived in Central Australia all his life. His resume reads a bit like a brief history of the territory itself.
I was born in Alice Springs, grew up at Hermannsburg, so I'm not one of your wankademics. I've been a stockman, I've been driven road trains, I've chased buffaloes up the top end, and I ended up becoming a botanist, and I've spent since 1970 trying to preserve the vegetation of Central Australia.
But of all the years he's spent in remote corners of the bush, Peter Latz says there are few properties that can boast the kind of biodiversity you find at Henbury Station.
The hills adjoining Palm Valley have got a lot of rare plants in them. And then you've got a system of mesas with this sort of white breakaways, as we call them, that are pretty unique in Central Australia. And they've got quite a few rare plants in them. And I have to say that one of the best stands of Acacia latzii, which is a threatened and endangered gidgee-like tree in arid Australia. And it's also the area of the highest diversity of Aboriginal significance. There's a lot of dreaming across in that area. It's the area where the Loricha consider that they arose from. And so from the Aboriginal point of view, it's an incredibly important area. From any conservationist, it's the most important wetland in arid Australia.
But destocking a cattle property for conservation was always going to attract plenty of criticism in the Northern Territory. It certainly wasn't what some local Aboriginal groups had in mind. Just as the official speeches were wrapping up, a traditional owner made his feelings known. This is Barry Abbott, leader of one of the Indigenous families connected to Henbury Station.
We all born and bred on Henbury. I born just straight down from the Washington homestead there. Under a tree, not in hospital, with a clean sheet and the bloody nurses and whatever. We got nothing back. Can't they give us a bit of block each so we can run our own stock and whatever for killer? Or they just going to take everything out? We've been trying for this place here for that long, got nowhere. And the place went up and up and up and up. Now you feel coming on board. We're not getting a fair go in our own area. All other additional owners got the shit and went, and that's it. And I'll tell you one thing, we're not going to give up on this. We're going to fight you all the way along. We'll fight the land council. That's supposed to give us a hand. I'm going to put my foot down. I don't care who bought it and whatever. I want it for all other people. All I don't know is to put out my people.
Back in Alice Springs, the Central Land Council has tried many times to buy Henbury Station on behalf of traditional owners. But Director David Ross says it struggled to find the money. Now the Land Council is developing a native title claim, which would give traditional owners a greater say over what happens at Henbury Station.
The Land Council is at the moment undertaking research in order to place a claim on the property, and with R.M. Williams Agricultural heading down the path of trying to destock and to use the property for carbon trading purposes, the native title holders certainly would have the right to be consulted under the Native Title Act, and it's certainly taking place at the moment.
Indigenous groups aren't the only ones unhappy with the sale of Henbury. It is also deeply unpopular amongst Central Australia's cattle producers. One of them is Lindy Severin.
In the cool here?
Yeah, sitting in the air conditioner, waiting for you to get here.
Lindy Severin is from Curtin Springs Station, about 400 kilometres southwest of Alice Springs. The temperature has been in the 40s for days, so we talk in the cool of the kitchen. As she makes a cup of tea, Lindy Severin says removing cattle from Henbury is a frightening development for pastoralists.
That's dollars out of the system, so the agents aren't making their commissions by turning off cattle. The businesses in Alice Springs who provide parts for equipment and the hundreds and hundreds of things that we need every week. It's a huge impact economically. Emotionally, it's been a much bigger impact. Emotionally, it's about the perception that the country needed to be saved, that the only way to save the country was to take the cattle off it. It was insulting to all of us who care about our country, who care about our animals, and who work really hard to make sure we balance the two of them. And we take it hard and we take it personal when that's attacked.
But the deal was done. Over the next year, the cattle were mustered and sold by the former owner. With one cattle truck after another, the station was emptied. Then a controversial figure moved into the Henbury homestead. David Pearce had never managed a cattle property in the Northern Territory, so he was always going to be an outsider. But halfway through this year, he took charge at Henbury Station. A geologist by trade, David Pearce had built a career on commodities trading and investment banking. Known to be an aggressive dealmaker, he then turned his focus on the emerging carbon market. Botanist Peter Latz worked with David Pearce in the early months of the Henbury project.
He looked around the world and realised that a lot of the planet has grazing animals, but areas are not as suitable for agriculture. And what are we going to do in terms of this large proportion of the planet's surface in terms of carbon credits? And he sort of looked around the world and decided that Australia would be a good place to start to work this out.
As managing director of R.M. Williams Agricultural Holdings, David Pearce was the driving force behind the station's conservation project. His wife Rebecca became Henbury's environmental manager. And then, after the couple had spent just 3 months on Henbury, came this news.
The Henbury Conservation Project in Central Australia is on shaky ground with news that the head of R.M. Williams Agricultural Holdings is leaving the company. Now, this is a major blow to the joint carbon abatement project between R.M. Williams and the federal government, which, of course, chipped in $9 million to buy the property last year.
Background Briefing can confirm that both David and Rebecca Pearce were dismissed, but at the time, they left Henbury Station suddenly and without explanation. Speculation was rife that the conservation project was in trouble. Background Briefing has now discovered that David Pearce is being sued by a major investor in R.M. Williams Agricultural Holdings. David Pearce used to work for this investor, the London-based private equity firm Origo Partners PLC. At the time, David Pearce helped facilitate Origo's investment in R.M. Williams Agricultural Holdings. Origo has now brought an action in the New South Wales Supreme Court, claiming David Pearce had an undisclosed interest in relation to that investment. Background Briefing understands that David Pearce cut a side deal with R.M. Williams Agricultural Holdings, to which Origo says he is not entitled. Background Briefing approached David Pearce for an interview. He declined, but in his first public statement since being sacked, David Pearce says he strongly refutes Origo's claim. In addition, David Pearce says he was wrongfully dismissed and is launching his own legal action. The effect of the dismissals on the reputation of the project has been immediate. With its prime mover gone, the project stalled, and along with it the hopes of many that it would succeed in earning carbon dollars from arid country. That Henbury had taken $9 million out of the federal conservation budget only made it worse. R.M. Williams Agricultural Holdings insists the Henbury project has not been mismanaged, but at least two of Henbury's neighbours have deep misgivings about the way the station has been run.
Hello. Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
How are you?
Oh, good.
Good.
I arrive at Palmer Valley Station, south of Henbury, to be greeted by one of its staff with two of the station dogs.
So who have we got here?
That's Jack, the smaller one, Blackjack. And that's Puggles, the fat one. They're sweet dogs.
All right, well, maybe I'll go have a word with Ted.
You'll have a word with Ted.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
See ya.
Ted Fogarty runs three pastoral leases across New South Wales and the Territory. I find him packing new supplies in the homestead's freezer. As we sit down at the kitchen bench, Ted Fogarty tells me the problems he's seen across his northern boundary with Henbury.
It's a disaster, I reckon. You know, they're talking about carbon credits, burnt more trees and grass since they've had no cattle on it. Like a lot of this country, you burn and it kills all the trees. You know, the cattle control it from burning. Sort of lightens the grass off and not so much fuel in it. And I just couldn't work that out.
R.M. Williams Agricultural Holdings has a legal obligation to manage fire, weeds and feral animals under its federal government deal. Yet an incident about a month ago involving a grass fire that began on Henbury and crossed onto Ted Fogarty's station has him really concerned about how the property's currently being managed.
Like even now, we've had a bushfire and, you know, all the fences burnt and no one's even been along there to check it. You know, like I've got to go and fix it. I didn't light it. I didn't start the fire. They drove straight past and seen it and never even stopped.
And by they, do you mean staff from Henbury Station?
Well, as far as I know, that there's a couple of workers, and it was a R.M. Williams Toyota went past and took it back to Henbury.
Why do you think they did that?
Don't know. You think they would have helped put the fire out first, for a start, instead of just leaving the neighbours and that to try and put the fire out and then fix all the fence up.
How much of the fence line was damaged?
Oh, like along the fence line we sort of fixed it up and we still got strainers and stays to put in for about 3 to 4 kilometres.
Henbury neighbour Ted Fogarty. Background Briefing put his claim to the Chief Operating Officer of R.M. Williams Agricultural Holdings. This is Rory Richards.
It was our vehicle, it did drive past, and in hindsight, they should have stopped, they should have gone and spoken to Ted, but I don't know where Ted would have been. There was someone on a grader, madly grading ahead of the fire front. The last thing you want to do is pull them up and start asking questions, so they used the initiative and went to the homestead.
When it comes to Ted Fogarty's complaint about having to repair the fences by himself, Rory Richards has this to say.
What's happened to the good old telephone or radio? Just give us a call and tell us the fences are down and we'll come and assist. The good old agreement, 50-50. We're more than happy to help.
Rory Richards concedes that relations with neighbours have been frayed.
I'm the first to admit that we got off to the wrong start. I don't blame any of our neighbours, and I think that we can very easily repair these relationships. I think that we need to make the effort to explain what we're about and who we're about, and I'm sure things will improve.
Rory Richards has been meeting with neighbours to try and smooth over fractured relations. He will have a fair bit of talking to do to improve the company's reputation and to convince pastoralists that this carbon model could work for them. For some, like Wally Klein, the company's approach may be too late. Wally has run Herefords at Orange Creek Station for 15 years. During that time, he's seen two neighbouring stations destocked and turned over to conservation. Wally Klein says it makes managing his land that much harder. On the day I went to visit Wally, a local property agent from Alice Springs arrived soon after me. They were headed out for a drive and invited me to come along. We began an informal tour of Orange Creek's major assets, the yards, water points and the irrigated Lucerne farm.
Yeah, the underground water here is unbelievable, eh? Between 40 and 60 litres a second.
Is that right?
Yeah.
There's another track up here, right?
Get on that one.
Righto, let's go. Let's do it. Left or right?
Left.
It's at this point I realise what this tour is actually about. the agent is assessing the station to put it on the market.
It's amazing.
When we're back at the homestead, I ask Wally why.
I would like to have neighbours that have got cattle, you know. I really need neighbours with common interests so we can help each other survive. So I think it's going to make it too hard for us. Yeah, I think the time has come where we should move on.
How much of an impact has Henbury had on that decision?
Yeah, look, it's probably been the final straw, really. I don't need National Park all the way around me. I have enough problems without the additional things that I'm going to have to worry about having a park there.
If carbon is a way to diversify businesses on cattle stations, wouldn't that be a call for support for a project like Henbury?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure. But, I mean, none of us know anything about it. Maybe it will be something that will be good for all pastoralists. But I don't really know how it's going to work. Does anybody know?
At this stage, no, they don't. In order for anyone to earn credits through Australia's new carbon trading system, the Carbon Farming Initiative, they have to follow a government-approved methodology. It's a set of practices that landholders will have to follow to ensure that carbon is actually being taken out of the atmosphere and taken out permanently. But a methodology that works for Australia's rangelands hasn't been approved yet. A group including R.M. Williams Agricultural Holdings have drafted one and have submitted it to the federal government for assessment, but it's not yet publicly available. It relies on regrowing trees and shrubs and encouraging more extensive root systems to store more carbon across degraded areas. Crucially for pastoralists, this methodology doesn't require the removal of all cattle. But there are still big question marks over carbon sequestration on Australia's rangelands. This is Alice Springs-based ecologist Dr. Ashley Sparrow.
Not all parts of Henbury look the same, and they certainly don't have the same vegetation or soils, and therefore probably don't have the same ability to sequester carbon in the future. Another issue for me is because of fire, most vegetation may not permanently sequester. It's only temporarily sequestering. And so there are real issues about what permanent sequestration is likely to go on.
Dr. Ashley Sparrow says there are ways of accounting for fires, but there are other measurement issues on the rangelands.
The changes are going to be incredibly small per unit area, so per square metre or per hectare or per square kilometre even. There's not going to be much opportunity to sequester carbon. We're thinking of perhaps grams per square metre. But if you multiply that by the 5,000 square kilometres of a place like Henbury over 20 or 50 years, it could be quite a lot of carbon. But the challenge around that will always be that you need to be able to demonstrate to your customer that you really are sequestering. So you have to have accurate measurements somehow of very small amounts and then convince them that that number applies over really large areas. And the more expensive the monitoring becomes, the less valuable the net benefit you get because you actually have to invest in demonstrating the benefit to your customer.
One customer that's already satisfied the credits will stack up is Qantas. It's currently the only company that has agreed to buy carbon credits from Henbury Station under their voluntary offset program starting mid-next year. They've said they'll take as many as they can get. For others, however, the unproven nature of the carbon business remains a serious sticking point. Luke Bowen is from the Northern Territory Cattlemen's Association.
Look, I think there's been some fairly optimistic and courageous sort of predictions made. I think time will tell, and I think we need to remain very open to the fact that there could be still be some opportunities there, but we just need to make sure that these systems are verifiable and they've got some integrity.
The cattlemen opposed to the Henbury project also hold another card. For now, Henbury is still sitting on a pastoral lease, which means it is legally required to run cattle. When the federal government provided most of the money for the purchase of Henbury, it did so with an assurance that the lease would be converted to a conservation covenant, a decision that lies with the Territory government. Luke Bowen again.
The previous Northern Territory government had provided an undertaking that would change the tenure to a Crown lease, a special Crown lease effectively.
But Luke Bowen says the new country Liberal government opposes Henbury's change of tenure.
Well, they've given a fairly clear undertaking prior to the election and subsequently that they wouldn't be changing land tenure until such time as the business that was, or the products or the business that was proposed on that land was viable and sustainable longer term.
It's expected to be another year before a verdict on the validity of any rangelands methodology is reached. If it's not approved, Henbury enters uncharted territory. In the meantime, R.M. Williams Agricultural Holdings says it will fully fund Henbury till the middle of next year. Success in the carbon trading venture will be critical if other pastoralists are to come on board, some of whom are already claiming that Henbury has failed. Others in the community are urging patience. Botanist Peter Latz admits that Henbury is an experiment, but says it's one that we should all hope succeeds.
Australians are very dubious about any sort of change. So, you know, anything like this is always going to have a lot of people complaining about it because it's not like Grandpa did it. And, you know, we're a rich enough nation that we can start the experiment here and work it out. It's crucially important. Absolute necessity. If we don't do it, we're idiots.
Peter Latz there with Caddy Brain. You're listening to Background Briefing and I'm Di Martin. R.M. Williams Agricultural Holdings agreed to answer some of the claims and issues raised in Caddy's story, including questions surrounding the dramatic sacking of David Pearce. Despite speculation that David Pearce was sacked for his management of Henbury, Chief Operating Officer of the company, Rory Richards, says this is not the case. Rory Richards also reveals, for the first time, that the company would like to reintroduce cattle to the station. And he admits he is unaware of the broad powers of the federal government to take over Henbury without compensation if the company fails in its obligations to manage a National Reserve System property. In this extended interview, Chief Operating Officer Rory Richards begins by answering the criticism that Henbury Station is already a failed carbon experiment.
Oh, I think that's very premature. As far as failed, I think we're a long way from that. These sort of projects take a long time to develop. I think that it's very important that people look at us as pioneers in this area of carbon. We don't do this lightly, and we certainly don't do it to undermine the pastoral industry or the beef industry.
Can you tell us why David Pearce was sacked?
The directors and the board decided that they wanted to refresh the team, and they make changes, and hence they got rid of David Pearce and changed the structure of the business.
So can you tell us why it was necessary to refresh the leadership, the removal of such a senior figure has led to considerable speculation about the health of the project itself?
I'm not at liberty to discuss that. I'm not close enough and I'm not privy to the board discussions and board decisions. Suffice to say that whilst he was a high-profile person within the Henbury model, I don't think any of the intellectual property has been lost, and I don't think that we've lost time in the project.
Did he mismanage Henbury?
No, he did not.
Is David Pearce's removal partly because he's being sued by one of your company's major investors, Origo?
I am aware of the fact that there is a court case taking place between one of the major shareholders in the company. Personally, I'm not aware of the detail behind that.
But it must have cast a pall over David Pearce.
I'll leave our listeners to make that judgment.
Now, Background Briefing has spoken to neighbours Wally Klein and Ted Fogarty, who have criticised Henbury for inadequate weed, feral and fire management. I believe you personally have recently met with neighbours. How did you answer their criticisms?
Well, basically the first question is, how do they justify statements like that? Have they been across Henbury? What do they base their comments on? We have plenty of evidence to indicate what we have done over the last 6 months to address these issues. And more recently, we've actually had the Northern Territory Weeds Department plus our environmental guys down the entire Fink River treating Athol pine. I don't think their judgment is based on fact.
So if the federal government walked onto Henbury today, fire control management, weed control and feral control would be up to date and in accordance with the National Reserve Agreement?
Absolutely.
By destocking Henbury, you stirred up quite a hornet's nest, didn't you?
Oh, look, it didn't win us any favours. But I think a lot of the problems there are that people don't understand. For us to be able to create a baseline and genuinely measure what we're trying to do in the way of vegetation regrowth, we had to remove all animals. And the program going forward is designed around the removal of cattle. Our wish and our ambition is obviously that ultimately we can develop a program that will include both.
Is your agreement with the federal government flexible enough to incorporate cattle grazing in the future on Henbury?
I believe everything is open for dialogue and negotiation. Our agreement is relatively flexible. At this stage, we would have to convince the minister that it was beneficial to run cattle. And I think we're getting ahead of ourselves. I think right now we need to be able to prove the methodology without cattle, prove that it works, silence our critics, and then possibly develop it with cattle.
So have you raised with the federal government at any level the possibility of restocking Henbury?
At this stage, no, we haven't.
But you may approach them to do that in the future?
I do believe we would like to, but obviously it's something we need to discuss and we need to understand the ramifications of it.
RM Williams Agricultural Holding is trying to sell a station in Queensland, and obviously your company is also trying to raise additional capital. Is your company financially able to meet its obligations to manage a National Reserve System property?
At this stage, it is. If Henbury fails, and by that I mean that the methodology fails and we can't convert it to a carbon project, then we'd have to consider how we proceed, whether we exit the agreement, and we haven't had these conversations, because obviously the only way we could finance it then going forward is with cattle.
You're listening to Rory Richards, Chief Operating Officer for RM Williams Agricultural Holdings, on Background Briefing. He goes on to defend the station against persistent allegations of shoddy living conditions and under-resourcing. Background Briefing spoke to one former employee who left the station after the company failed to act on his requests to fix dangerous electrical wiring in the living quarters. Here's Rory Richards.
Look, it was an unfortunate situation. The manager, Simon Rothbone, should have been given the manager's house. He wasn't. He was given the assistant's house, which was a rather poor quality. The promise was that we would repair it, and his patience ran out.
You lost a station manager within 7 weeks of him arriving. It's not a good record, is it?
Not at all. It's extremely disappointing, and I have high regard for Simon, so I wouldn't like that to happen on my watch.
So what has changed since then?
Our management is far more transparent and upfront. I think it, from an accommodation point of view, the main homestead has now been made the manager's home. We don't expect them to wait on the periphery, and I generally believe that we can manage this going forward.
How much attention have you paid to questions of resourcing of the station and equipment used by your employees?
Di, we have a very comprehensive budget that we've put together. I have no doubt that, like all stations, there's old equipment that is deemed to be old. As far as resourcing it up, it's not a case of no money or inadequately managed. It's a case of we've taken over the property on the 29th of June and Rome wasn't built in a day.
What is Henbury's budget?
I'm not at liberty to discuss that.
But is it...
It's fairly extensive.
Is it sufficient to cover its financial obligations and to meet the terms of its agreement with the federal government?
That it's more than adequate has plenty of room for movement as well.
So it is not reliant on future capital raising?
No, it's not. No, that money's already earmarked and already placed in an account for Henbury.
As I understand it, Henbury is still a pastoral lease, and until it is converted to a conservation covenant, which is a decision yet to be made by the Northern Territory Pastoral Board. The company has a responsibility to run cattle. Is that your understanding?
That's correct. So the timeframes here are, as I mentioned earlier, 2 years. If at the end of 2 years the methodology is disproved, we have the ability not to convert it to an environmental lease and retain it as a pastoral lease, and with some arrangement with the government, depending on what that negotiation is, we can run cattle. If at the end of 2 years it is successful and we can prove the methodology, well, then it's operations normal and we'll seek to change the title.
Right, so we're talking about the 6th of June 2013 for the end of that two-year period?
That's correct. And we believe when we get to that point, if we need to ask for extension, we will, but I believe we'll have a very good idea by then as to whether there is carbon to be sequestered and whether it's viable. We may find that the carbon being sequestered is of such low quantity that it doesn't make it a viable project.
And in that case, you will seek to renegotiate with the federal government?
That's correct. And obviously in that renegotiation, it'll be decided what we do with Henbury.
What happens if the conversion of the property to conservation covenant is blocked?
Well, I dare say we would be turning to the federal government and asking them for assistance.
Is it your understanding that the Northern Territory government is hostile for such a conversion?
I'm not sure I'd use the word hostile. I think they, as we sit here today, I think they are concerned. They have expressed their preference not to, and they've also expressed that they would like to have a much clearer idea of where this is going to go before they even make a decision.
Background Briefing has been told that if R.M. Williams Agricultural Holding fails in its obligations to manage Henbury, then the federal government has broad powers to take over the station without compensation.
I wouldn't be surprised. They'd want their money back, I suppose, and they may want to continue with it as a reserve under the Caring for Our Country.
Is that the first you've heard of that?
I was of the opposite opinion that should we get to the end of the period and the methodology wasn't proven, we had the option to retain the property. But having said that, again, there's two sides to the equation and federal government may choose to do opposite.
Is it something you'll be seeking advice on?
Oh, absolutely. I'd want clarity on that.
Does R.M. Williams regret its decision to enter into this National Reserve System agreement?
No, we don't regret it. I think that we have some pretty big boots to fill in the sense that it is a new project. We've taken a lot of criticism and we do believe that we will pull this off. What's absolutely fundamentally important to us is the integrity. If there is no integrity behind this project, then we need to shut it down. And as far as I am concerned and R.M. Williams Agricultural Holdings is concerned, is we want to be able to look our detractors in the face and say, this is how it works, and there's no spin on it. If it doesn't work, we'll cop it on the chin. We'll turn around and we'll make sure that what we do with Henbury is the right thing, and we'll move on.
That's Rory Richards, Chief Operating Officer for R.M. Williams Agricultural Holdings. For more information about Henbury Station and statements made by participants in this program, visit the Background Briefing website. Reporting this week from Central Australia is Caddy Brain. Coordinating producer is Linda McGuinness. Research by Anna Whitfeld. Technical production by Mark Don. Chris Bullock is executive producer. And I'm Di Martin. This is our last program for the year before RN begins its summer season of programming, which will include highlights from throughout the year.